quick recap of what we've covered so far, lest you've forgotten. First session, while it's necessary to know there is a mystery, it's not enough to know what it's not. We need to know what it is, right? So Justin pointed out in the last session that the mystery is the new creature, the body of Christ. This is how God is dealing with man, and we'll flesh some of that out a little bit here. But it's crucial to understand this one point here. Before we get started into what the mystery of the cross is, the fellowship of the mystery is the body of Christ, you in Christ, Christ in you. And this is how God is dealing with man today. And this is what he's revealed to the Apostle Paul as the fellowship that we're supposed to make known to all men to get them into this body. And yet, we can know that. We can know that we're in a body, but we're still left asking some questions. We're still left asking the biggest question, I think, should be, well, how do we get in that body? Or how is it possible, how is it just and right that God can grant a whole bunch of sinners these things that he's granted them? How can he justly and rightly put sinners into his own body? That should cause a dilemma in your mind when you're thinking about the righteousness and the holiness and the just nature of the God that we serve. So we have to ask this question of how is this possible? And that is the topic of mystery of the cross. You won't find that phrase in your Bible, but what we find, I think, is kind of the theme of the seminar here, is that the phrases that we find in the scripture that say mystery of can be good to know and good to learn, but it is elementary and first level material in that way. We need to be better students than that and to figure out the concepts that are being taught beyond just the words of mystery that you find in the Bible. So what we know is that there are things about the cross that were not known prior to Paul that God revealed to Paul. And so because the things that were not known but revealed are referred to as the mystery, we're going to call this the mystery of the cross. We're not trying to invent a new doctrine, just trying to give a name to a lesson to describe what we're about to talk about, okay? But like I said, you can know you're in a body of Christ and not know how to get in it, perhaps, right? So we need to know this information. Another thing that we often see is that grace folks in particular do when they go to describe the mystery, and Dustin talked about this a little bit in his session, is that they begin to describe attributes or characteristics of the mystery, and they kind of skirt the issue. By describing things about it, they don't ever tell you what it is, right? And there's nothing wrong with the attributes and the characteristics, and you need to know that, but explaining the attributes and the characteristics isn't necessarily explaining what the mystery is. If I told you that I had something that was red and shiny and had wheels and got me from point A to point B, what is it? Listen to all the answers. And they're all right, as far as you know. That was your best guess. It would be a fire truck. Why isn't it a classic muscle car? Why isn't it a new private custom fancy jet? Why isn't it a little red wagon? Right? Red, shiny wheels. It works with the characteristics that I described of red, shiny wheels, point A, point B. So, again, we're trying to hone in our skills a little bit about being a student of the Bible and a minister of God's mysteries. We need to know those aspects. I need to be able to point to a fire truck and say that it's red and shiny and has wheels. And we need to do that. But I also need to explain that it's a fire truck. And this is what fire trucks do. Does everybody understand where we're going with that? Okay. So you can know that there's a body of Christ, which is key and important because that's the quick, easy answer to what is the mystery. Because ultimately, this is where it all ends up. Everything that we're talking about being the mystery ends up here as a result of the body of Christ. But how is that possible? That is the mystery of the cross that we're going to talk about in this session. So the mystery, the new creature, is the body of Christ. But the mystery is not only the entity. It's this information that we need to know. This is an actual thing. He calls it a creature. A creature is something that has been created. God has made this entity that is his body, and we are in it. But there's also things we need to know that are part of the mystery. So it's a body of information about Christ and what he did that was not known before. Please turn to 1 Corinthians 2. this body of information that is necessary for the body of Christ that we're about to talk about, it's necessary for it to exist. The body of Christ can't exist without this hidden information about the cross. It's necessary for the body of Christ to operate. And quite frankly, it's necessary for the salvation of mankind. Because this once hidden wisdom concerns the cross of Christ. And what I did not say was that the cross was the hidden wisdom. The cross is not the hidden information. We've covered that already, right? The death, burial, and resurrection was prophesied. But there is information about it that was kept secret. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7 through 10. Paul says that we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained. Them that love him, but God hath revealed them unto us. So there's something that God has revealed. It was a wisdom of God. Not have crucified him. What's the connection there? Right? Why would they not have crucified him if they knew this hidden wisdom? So the mystery of the cross has something to, or the mystery that I'm about to speak about has something to do with this cross, right? And maybe you didn't catch it when we read the passage just there, and so maybe you're still asking, okay, there's a mystery about the cross. That passage says that pretty clearly, but what is it? Maybe you're still you're working on that. You're not alone, okay? But so I've completely just lost my place in my outline, but that's okay. But this is because I already said it. There's a mystery about it, but they, if they had known it, they wouldn't have crucified him. The reason why is because it answers this question of how. This question that men have asked for millennia. Dustin talked about Habakkuk asking, not really asking the question, but stating the obvious to him, that the just should live by faith. Habakkuk knew the just should live by faith. That's not a mystery. But how did he know that? How do you know that? Because he had the law, and Israel had the law, and he's looking around, and he saw and that no one could keep it, but yet knew that God would somehow justify people. And so if you can't, it can't be by the law, then it has to be by some other mechanism. And so he concludes that it's got to be faith, right? David, he was asking, how can God give grace? Romans 4, 6 through 8. Paul talks about David describing the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputes righteousness without works. And David says, well, how can that be possible? How is that possible that God can do this? How can it happen? So David had that question, and he did not know the mystery of the cross. He did not know the hidden information about Christ's cross. So let's unpack this a little bit, the mystery of the cross. So the Messiah's death, burial, and resurrection was prophesied, and it was in many types and shadows in Israel's prophecies. We covered that. We covered how Christ shows himself to the his death and his resurrection to the 12 in Luke 24. We covered that. And we also pointed out that most Middax folks are scared to death of Isaiah 53 because they know that that's talking about Jesus Christ and his death. And, you know, if you think that that is the mystery of the cross, then you kind of befuddled there. But again, that's all prophesied. That is not a mystery. When Christ was killed, when Israel slew him and hung him on the cross, it was a shame. And it was a shame to Israel, and it was a cause for their repentance. Make no doubt about that. That was not a good thing. Right? And the prophecies speak of it that way. Right? It speaks of it as an obstacle, as a problem, as a tragic event. And that's really what it was. The most tragic event in human history is when God manifests himself to humanity in the person of Jesus Christ, coming in peace and humility to his own people even. And they not only reject him, but treat him as the worst of criminals and kill him. The most tragic event in human history. Understand that. Humanity's complete rejection of God manifesting himself in the flesh to humanity, and they kill him. That's a tragic event, the most tragic event in human history. It was worthy of condemnation, and Peter says so much in Acts 2, 3, and 4 when he's preaching to Israel. He condemns them for the wicked act that they did of slaying God in flesh. It was a bad thing, right? Stephen in Acts 7, he also indicts the rulers of Israel with the same charge. He says they are guilty of the death of the Messiah.
Right.
So the scriptures foretold of this, but it was foretold as not a good thing. It was not seen in a good light, and when it happened, it wasn't a good thing to have happened. The mystery of the cross is that God used the most tragic event in human history as the means to defeat death and sin and to reconcile the world to himself and provide salvation and eternal life for mankind. That's the mystery of the cross, is that God could somehow take the worst thing that's ever happened in human history and make it the most important thing that's happened in human history. Okay? And that means that the mystery of the cross is a glorious thing. So while the cross, according to prophecy, and when it happened in real time in human history, was tragic, the most tragic event, and was worthy of condemnation, but the mystery of the cross is that it was actually a glory. The cross was God's hidden wisdom, right? Wisdom is a good thing. It's the fullness of your knowledge and understanding. And God, who knows all things and created all things, has wisdom that we cannot even comprehend. And his wisdom was to use the worst thing that's happened in human history as the best thing that could ever happen for humanity. All right. So that's the mystery of the cross in a nutshell, is that the cross is a glorious thing, not a shameful and condemning thing. That was not known until it was revealed to the Apostle Paul by the resurrected and glorified Lord in Acts 9. Okay, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 2 and explore this a little bit more. So you're already in that passage. Verse 8 says that the mystery mentioned in verse 7 concerns the cross. But there's hidden wisdom that God uses, the cross, unto our glory. When you read verses in the Bible, do you ever catch yourself just skimming past phrases that you don't really think about? Justin mentioned it in the last lesson. Like, he just tacks on Jesus Christ at the end of this verse as if it's just a good thing that Christians do at the end of a sentence, you know, in Christ Jesus, right? That's not, the words are there for a reason, right? It was unto our glory. That's how we get the idea that the mystery of the cross was a glory. Paul says God has hidden wisdom. Paul said that it wasn't revealed, or they would not have crucified him. But now that he's crucified and resurrected and ascended, God can reveal that what he really was going to do was use that tragic event not as a condemnation, even though it was to Israel, to their shame, but he was going to use it for his glory and the glory of all who would trust in it. Right? So back up to verse 2 in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Back up in the passage a little bit. Paul says, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now that we're talking about something about the cross that was a mystery now revealed to Paul, we can start paying attention a little bit more to when Paul uses these words. Like, cross isn't just a Christian word that is found in the Bible. Like, it's there for a reason, right? So in verse 2, it says that Paul determined to know nothing among the Corinthians except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Why? Why is that? Why not know anything else except Jesus Christ and him crucified? Skip down to verse 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Right? The cross, Jesus Christ crucified, is the power of God. This is how God makes things happen for the relationship between him and humanity. It is through Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, which the event itself was known and prophesied about, but God's hidden wisdom that it would be for glory and it would be the source of his power to be able to maintain his righteousness and his graciousness at the same time. By him being in Christ, Jesus Christ being the fullness of the Godhead bodily, shedding his holy and perfect sinless blood for humanity, doing the work necessary to forgive sins and provide life for humanity. This is God's power to be able to do these things. This is the mystery of the cross. And you keep backing up into 1 Corinthians. It's almost like we're walking backwards to find the logic here. But 1 Corinthians 1:18, Paul says the preaching of the cross, which is what we're talking about here, is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Right? The mystery of the cross is that the cross is the power of God. Right? So we're talking about, so what is this hidden information about the cross? We're trying to make it succinct. We were putting together the outlines and the subjects and the titles of these lessons, and God's wisdom is so deep, and it cannot be confined to a weekend. You know, the revelation of the mystery is the manifold wisdom of God, and here we're going to try to sum it up in 8 lessons. Like, it's hardly possible, okay? So, when we're talking about these things, realize that we're trying to help strengthen your understanding, but just because you understand the diagram that somebody draws on the board doesn't mean that that's the end all of understanding the mystery of Christ, because we're going to study this till the day we die and still have more room to grow. Okay, so you need to remember that. But we're trying to help you get this in a nutshell. The mystery of the cross, what was hidden information about the death, burial, and resurrection is that it was a glorious thing for God to use as a power to make things happen. So we talked about how Peter and Stephen preached the cross as a shame, but Paul preaches the cross as glory and power, and that's the wisdom of God. To use man's weakest attribute. Man's weakest attribute is what? Death. It's the one thing you can't avoid. It's the one thing you can't fix. Now, maybe other things, but it is one thing that's certain that nobody can stop. Man's weakest attribute is death, and God used man's weakest attribute as his greatest power. Right? He used the death of Christ to provide salvation of mankind. 2 Timothy 1:8 through 10. If you want to turn there, we'll see this again, how the gospel, the good news that is preached as part of the revelation of the mystery given to Paul is the power of God. And we know from 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4, which we looked at earlier, that the gospel does concern the cross, clearly. But the gospel concerns something about the cross that was not known before, and that was that it is the power of God. 2 Timothy 1:8 through 10. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, that's Paul, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us, called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So we've got something here that we're going to explore in a little bit, and I'll just write it up on the board now. We've got death and life here as a result of this cross. How is it that man can receive life from God? It's by this power here. Okay. What is power? What is power? Probably another word. Maybe in the Bible it's a word that you kind of read through and don't really think. Maybe some people think of power as like Holy Ghost power, right? If you're a Christian, you've got power. You can do things. You can move mountains, right? You can heal people. You can speak in tongues. This is powerful stuff, right? No, power is merely force. It's force. It's strength. It's the ability or the means to accomplish an effect or to change something. You have the ability to do something. You have the power to do it. Maybe it's because you're in a control kind of position where you've got lots of things under your care. You have the power to enforce. Maybe it is a strength issue. You have the power to stand up out of your chair. Some of you have less power than others regarding that. Just saying. Okay, it's power, it's the ability, it's the means, it's you being able to do something, right? That's power. So the mystery of the cross is the power of God to save all men at all times. I say that and I pause for dramatic effect. You need to realize that, okay? This power of God, though it was revealed to Paul, is the means for salvation for all of humanity. There's no other way it could be possible. But nobody else knew that until Paul. Because it was the hidden wisdom. If God had revealed it before Paul, they wouldn't have killed him, and then it would not have been possible, right? So this shows you that God knows all things from the beginning. He planned the things to happen from the beginning, and it was his wisdom to make this not known until he gave it to Paul at the right time. I'm not going to go into the details of how this is the means of salvation for all men at all time. That was the subject of an entire session in last year's seminar, Makes Salvation Made Clear. So if you want to know the mechanics and the inner workings of how this can be for all men at all times, go check out that lesson on the website. Suffice it to say that it's not only for men at all time, but for us today, and that's what we're trying to clarify here, right? The mystery as applicable for us today in the body of Christ. So the mystery of the cross is a glory because it's the power of God, but that's not all. That is, I mentioned earlier that the mystery of the cross is a body of information as well as the body of Christ, right? It's this collection of knowledge of things like the cross and what that meant, that it's glory and power. These are things that God accomplishes, but for us, they're intangible almost. It's like you know it, but you don't know how to experience it. And that is where the mystery of the cross is really amazing and where most people miss out, because you can experience the effect of the power of God through the mystery of the cross. In this life yet, in this sinful world, in this sinful flesh, you can experience that power now. And now I sound like a Pentecostal preacher. And please pass the plates as I demonstrate my power, right? That's kind of my point. There's more to God's power than that. Right? Like, don't limit God's power to the physical. He's not concerned with that. He killed the physical, right? His body died on a cross and he resurrected a glorified body. When you are put into the body of Christ, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but you die. Like, he needs your flesh as a tool to do some work, and then he's going to put that thing off. Right? And you're going to resurrect and you're going to get a new body. He's not so concerned with the physical. Right? The power of God is much more than that. Right? We look at the physical around us and we say, wow, God created this planet and the universe and life, and it's so amazing how the body works and all, I mean, just all these wonderful things of creation. And true, that speaks to God's wisdom and his power, but his power is greater than that. And that's what Justin mentioned in the last lesson, how Israel was going to be the nation of nations on the earth, and Christ as God is going to be king, which is pretty good. But we learned through the revelation of the mystery that Christ is going to be even more than that. He's going to be the head of all things, the head of all principality and power. That is beyond the scope of our understanding. You have to appreciate the greatness of it, though, because that was not revealed until the mystery was revealed to Paul. There are things that we learn about God and Christ and the work that he did on the cross that were kept secret. Between you and Christ, you and God, but we've broken down the mystery revealed to Paul in kind of these two aspects. There's the fellowship of the mystery, which is the body of Christ, you and Christ, Christ and you. And there's the mystery of the cross, which concerns Christ and what he did, and information about him and what he did that was not known before Paul. So what's the connection between these two? Because that's important to know also when we're trying to define what the mystery is and make it clear to people. Both of these things sound pretty good. God's glory, God's power. You get the riches of Christ. You're a member of his body, which is an amazing way to have communion with the God of the universe. But how does one access them? Again, this question comes up of how. You can put whatever you need to after that. David asked, how can God give grace? Habakkuk was posing the question in the form of a statement. How can God justify by faith? I mean, how is it possible? He didn't know. And how can man be saved? Surely it's not by their works, right? Well, and I just mentioned that we learned last year that it's by the work that Christ did on the cross, the power of the cross. That's how. But we got another question. How do these two things relate? How does one get into the body of Christ? Right? So somebody says, you're going to go up to somebody and you're going to say, hey, there's a mystery in the Bible. Do you know that? And you're going to show them the word mystery several times. And they're going to be like, wow, I never knew that. And you're going to tell them all the things that it's not, because that's just what you do. And And they're going to be, okay, great. And then they're going to ask you the question, what is it then? And because you've been to the seminar and you've been paying attention, you're going to say, it's the body of Christ. And they're going to be, wow, that's pretty neat. And then you're going to go your separate ways and the unsaved person you were talking to walks away. Because you told them there was a mystery and you told them the mystery is the body of Christ, but you didn't tell them how to get in it. Right? And so they walk away thinking that, well, I know something about God and that must be what God wants from me. Actually, there's something that God revealed in this mystery that is very important to our communication to other people about it. Okay? Two things I'm going to pose to you that is. Turn to Ephesians 3:6. We covered the first part of this verse in the last lesson, so it was a great lead-in to mine. Where Paul summarizes the mystery that we're talking about in Ephesians 3:6, he summarizes it with these three things that Justin covered very well. The mystery is that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs with Christ and of a same body of Christ and partakers of Christ's promise, right? Partakers of his promise in Christ. How, pray tell, does one get these things? By the gospel, right? Now, where's my colors? That's important because that answers the question. Now, you're all good students of the Bible. You know there are multiple gospels in your Bible. So we know that we have to get it right. Right? And we're typically calling this the gospel of the grace of God. Do you know what Paul also calls it in other places? My gospel, sure. Yeah, and so that speaks to the fact that it's something that he received from God and not other people. Right? We can infer that from the other passages that we know. He also calls it the glorious gospel. Why would he call it the glorious gospel? Because he was revealed a mystery about the glory of the cross, right? So it's the gospel that is the most glorious gospel that that man could hear from God. So turn to Romans 1:16, just to drive the point home. I mentioned to you that the mystery of the cross is the power of God, right? Well, what do you know about the power of God? Some of you already know when I said the reference. Romans 1:16. What is it? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. So he calls it the gospel of Christ here. And let's not split hairs over the gospel of whatever. Okay. Let's look at what Paul's talking about. Right? Don't be so elementary as to only be focused on the single word. Now, we focus on single words a lot. You understand? Like we will hold people to it when they want to change a word or tell you a word doesn't mean what it says. And this is key. There's another level of understanding you realize when you read the Bible. It's like you read it word for word and you believe it word for word. But then you start to see kind of the bigger picture come together as you let those words mean what they say and leave them be and don't change them and don't Greek them and all that kind of business. And certainly don't add them like in Ephesians 3:6. But when you start to do that, then you start to understand the meaning of the phrases, not just the meaning of the words, which you have to know. You have to know what the words mean. But you know, our language is more complicated than that. And that's why these people who go to seminary and they study second grade Greek, and they're going to think they're going to tell you how to speak Greek, right? You go to the Greek manuscripts and you know, they'll tell you what it means better. Right? You know how much understanding has to happen for you to communicate another language? It's crazy. I consider myself someone who can speak Spanish fairly well, and I'm terrible. Like when I speak to other people who speak Spanish as their native language, like they look at me and laugh. I could start speaking Spanish to you and you'd all be like, wow. And now you understand the Corinthian problem, don't you? Right? Because they were like, look at what I can do. And everybody said, wow. Because he's making sense in something I don't even understand. Right? It's an amazing thing. Language, it's kind of interesting to study out why God confounded the languages and why that goes away later. I mean, there's a function to that. Okay, but language is more complicated. I'm going off on a tangent, but it's okay. We're late for lunch anyway. You have to know what the words mean. Don't hear me wrong here. You got to know what those words mean and leave them alone and don't change them. But you got to know more than that. Understand what the words mean together. Understand the context. Understand what the flow of thought. Right? You can understand a word, but can you understand a verse? Can you understand a passage or a chapter or a book? This is where we're trying to get to. We're trying to increase in the knowledge of God, and we get it from this word and studying it. We got to do that. Rant over. Sorry. I'm getting hungry, I think. All right. So we learn Romans 1:16, the gospel, the grace of God, is the power of God. So it's kind of the same thing, right? The mystery of the cross is information that wasn't revealed until Paul, is that the cross, the work that Christ did there, is a glorious thing because it is the power of God to save, and it's that's the gospel that we preach today. It's not just that this is the means for how God can save. It's like this is what God requires of you. Now, I said that on purpose. This is what God requires of you. Well, what is this? That God did all the work, right? What this is that God did all the work for any man's salvation at any time. And at diverse times and sundry manners, God spake and he told me what he required of them, right? He said, and he knew, because it was the hidden wisdom from before the world began, he knew how he could accomplish it, but he didn't tell them that. He said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to build a boat. I want you to leave your country. I want you to let me give you a kid. I want you to follow this law. This is the things that God told man to do, and he counted their faith, their positive response to the instructions, as righteousness, knowing that he had the power of God in Christ to accomplish that justly. It wasn't the works that they did that saved them. It was God that did it, but their faith resulted in obeying God's instructions to them, right? And our instructions today is that God did all the work. So how do I get into this body of Christ? It's the gospel of the grace of God, that God did all the work, right? And I kind of showed my hand. But the other thing that relates to this mystery of the cross, that is kind of the same thing, is the dispensation of the grace of God. It's kind of the same. The question was asked earlier, it was a good question. Don't think of dispensations as just a time. It's kind of easy to see that on a chart. But what we've defined as dispensation here before is how God acts towards mankind and how he expects mankind to act in response to him. That's the dispensation, right? And you see God's different dispensations over time. And so we oversimplify that concept on a timeline to see these different time elements when God intervened in the world. But it's not the time. It's how God is operating. It's what he's doing, right? Well, what is God doing now, today, in this dispensation that he revealed to Paul that is still in operation 2,000 years later? What is God doing? He is building a body of Christ by preaching to people that he did all the work necessary when he died on the cross and resurrected from the dead. That's how he operates with people. And that's how he expects his body to operate in return, right? So he expects the body of Christ to operate in this way. And this is the last point, and I'll get us to lunch. I mentioned at the very beginning of the lesson, what is amazing to consider is that the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is not just a means of salvation, which in and of itself ought to be glorious and amazing, and it is. Okay, that ought to be enough. But God is so gracious that he's made it more, right? And this was a mystery of the cross. This is a mystery of Christ in the work that he did on the cross, is that his death becomes your death. Your judgment has already passed. Every human has to die and face the Lord in judgment. And your judgment has already been made here on the cross when you trust the gospel of the grace of God, a member of his body, right? Because he is righteous. So his righteousness becomes your righteousness. Justin talked about what's his is yours. He didn't flesh that out because I think he was leaving that for me, which was nice of him, okay? But now we're going to run over on lunch because I get to explain it, okay? His death becomes your death. Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Yet I live, right? But it's not him that lives, it's Christ that lives in him. God not only provided for your salvation, he provided for your life. And I'm not talking about just eternal life, I'm talking about how you live. You can live in joy and peace and love, even in this sinful world, in this sinful body. You can live a life that is glorifying to God when you put on the new man. Well, how can you do that? What does that mean? You struggle with your flesh. How can you put on the new man? I don't understand that. You put on the new man by understanding that your old man's dead. Because
Christ's death is your death. And now Christ's life is your life. So walk in righteousness. Walk as servants of God. That's Romans 6, right? Paul says it over and over and over and over again in Romans 6. You're baptized into his death, right? And you're resurrected with him unto life. That's huge. That was never prophesied. That was never, when Christ explained the death, burial, and resurrection to the 12 in Luke 24, that was not how he presented his cross, right? His cross to them was that I fulfilled that scripture in Isaiah 53, and that was a terrible thing that somebody had to die because of your sins, and it was a terrible thing that they killed me, and it was me that had to do it. Good thing I'm God, so I resurrected, and I can be your king. That's how he preached that to them, right? But that's not how he preaches it to you. He's not just some superhero, right, that did this amazing thing. Thank you for doing that. He completely solved your problem of sin and death, not only for eternity, that sounds backwards, but for now. And I say that in the sense of this, okay? Because in our human fleshly bodies, aren't we often more concerned with the now? I mean, aren't we always being bombarded with the now? It's like the reason why we can't do what we want to do for Christ is because of the now. I'm now in my flesh. I've got all this sin around me now. Well, what does Christ say? Around you now is dead. Right? You're dead unto the world. Around you now is dead. You need to realize that you are alive unto Christ. And the now doesn't matter except for that Christ has left you here to do the work for him. This is the mystery of the cross. This was not revealed until Paul. And Paul talks about it all over every one of his 13 epistles, which is the topic of tomorrow's lesson.